Do you know that Thanksgiving had something to do with the discovery of TV dinners? TV dinners came by way of Thanksgiving. You know how that happened? It said that TV dinners have Thanksgiving to thank. Back in 1953, someone at Swanson, you've heard of them, Swanson, they misjudged the number of frozen turkeys it was going to take to sell for that Thanksgiving. They only missed it by, now this is, they had this many left over, 26 tons. 26 tons? I wonder if that buyer is still around. He was probably a, he was like another turkey himself, like wrung and cut to dry there. So some industrious soul in that area, in that company, they came up with this idea. Hey, why not slice up this meat, repackage it with some trimmings on the side, and thus the first TV dinner was born. Isn't that interesting? Came by way of Thanksgiving. The next thing that's out there is a lot of people go shopping, don't they? Thanksgiving hits, and now it used to be the Friday after, but now they're wanting you to go shopping a month before Thanksgiving. But it's not if you're a plumber. Black Friday is the busiest day of the year for the plumber. You know, according to Roto-Rooter, you've heard of them guys. Well, that's the nation's largest plumbing service. After all, someone's got to clean up after the household when those guests are all there. So, evidently, take it for what it's worth, but plumbing is a busy time the day after Thanksgiving. Abe Lincoln declared Thanksgiving a national holiday. It was thanks to the tireless efforts of a magazine editor named Sarah Josephia Hale. Her other claim to fame is she also wrote that nursery rhyme, "Mary Had a Little Lamb." So because of her, you know, kind of been in the ear of Abraham Lincoln, here we go, you know, traditional holiday. So there's just some things. Of course, Ben Franklin, he really wanted the turkey to be the national bird. You've heard of that before. So that was one of those things, but the eagle turned out to that way. And we find that Thanksgiving is not just an American holiday. Canadians also celebrate it, except that they do it on the second Monday in October. So anyway, there's just some things on turkey. Fun facts of turkey. But that brings us into a time of the season, and it's a time of Thanksgiving. You know, we come through the whole year with all kinds of things happening in our lives, some good and not some so good. And how are we going to handle those things? How are we going to make it through those tough situations? And it's because of God, and it's because of His love, and sometimes the struggles and things that we do, and we don't always understand, but we have to know that God is there. I had a service this past Wednesday at the apartment complex here in town for seniors and people that would live there at Riverview Heights. And I was looking in Psalms where it says, you know, God, His mercy endureth forever, in Psalms I was reading. And before I got going, I started going around the room. I said, well, let's share a little bit on Thanksgiving. And if you want something, or if you can, feel free to share on what you're thankful for. And the very first person I called on said, I want to thank Him for His mercy. I said, wow, how did you know that's what I was like, main thing I was wanting to talk about was sharing on His mercy endureth forever, you know? And so we went around the room and people shared different things. And even though there were some things that were sad and other things that were good, you know, some of them shared those times it meant to them. If we were to go around here today and say, what would you want to share about something about being thankful for, you know? We would hopefully have something that we would have that ability to do. Sometimes you might have to think about it, though, because if you've had a rough time, if you've been going through some really major problems, sometimes those things overshadow the good, don't they? They seem to always be, we always remember the bad. We hardly as easily to remember the good. It's just like the bad always kind of stays there. I remember this and this and this happened, you know, but you know, it's the good is out there as well. And so as we get into the time of Thanksgiving, even as a church and even as individuals, Thanksgiving, it's an aspect of praise, you know, to give thanks to God for what He's done for us. Now, you know, do we have something to be thankful for? Do you have something to be thankful for? This has been out for some time, and you've probably have heard this, but you know, we have to have repetitious sometimes to kind of remember some of these things. But did you know that if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, and everybody that's here must have been doing pretty good, you got out of bed, amen, you are more blessed than the million who won't survive the week. Something to be thankful for. You know, we've talked, and I share with sometimes people and all, and about how if you don't have your health, nothing else really matters, you know. For God to keep you strong, to help you come through adversities in your body, to keep you strong or to heal you from different things that come upon us. Also, if you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, how many here woke up, how many here today have not eaten for the last week? Are the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 20 million people around the world. America is a blessed nation. You are blessed. I am blessed. Now, well, Tim, do you have $1 million in the bank? No. Money isn't the blessing. It's the things around you. It's the everyday aspects of your life, you know. And I am blessed. I trust that you are too. But 20 million people are experiencing either dangers of battle, the loneliness, imprisonment, torture, pangs of starvation. If you attend a church without fear of harassment or arrest or without fearing torture or death, you are blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. 3 billion people, you know, could be more now that are, you know, they have a church service. It's like, well, gee, are we going to be drug out? Are we going to be beheaded? Are we going to be shot? Are we going to be burned? Are we going to be tortured, you know? If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep. Did everybody have a bed to sleep in last night? I did. You're richer than 75% of the world. You're richer than 75. There's 75% of this world out there that do not have all those luxuries that you just would have had, of a refrigerator, clothes, a roof to sleep under, a bed, you know, a place to sleep. Wow. We are rich. If you have money in the bank, you have money in your wallet, spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Hear that now. If you got money in the bank, some money in their wallet, whatever the case might be, some spare change in your, you know, dish at home, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. 8%. Now, we look at it in America, and I think, well, I'm not that, you know. But we got to look at this as the world goes. Because the world is what makes up what? The world, you know? And so we can see the blessings that we have. If your parents are still married and alive, you're rare, because especially in the United States. I've heard of that before. And it goes on and shares some things. If you can hold someone's hand, hug them, or even touch them on the shoulder, you are blessed because you can offer God's healing touch. If you've got that ability to do that, you've got a conduit that God can work in to share his love with someone else. Because how else are they going to feel his love? How else are they going to hear about his love if it's not through who? Us that are here, that have experienced his love, that are hooked up to his love, that are saying, I'm a child of God. Lord, just work through me and minister through me, and let me be your hands and your feet and your voice in this place, Lord, because I know it's a dim place. It's a dark place. There's a lot of bad going on out there, and we hear it so often, Lord. Let the people hear good stuff, amen. And good stuff can come through us. Amen. Then if you can read the message that I'm reading here, if you can read, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that cannot even read anything. Wow. So that gives us some thought process of how thankful we are. And it is good to be aware of those things. Because sometimes when we begin to think about ourselves and the situation we're in, and we hear the things of this world or in this life or in this country that we're in, and we hear disparaging things out there about, well, there's more of this and there's all that, and we're you know, doom and gloom, and we're losing money and no jobs, and all these things are happening. We are still a country of wealth. We're a country that God has blessed because of our founding fathers and what they stood for. And we, as where we're at today, we need to remain strong in those areas of praying for this nation. We need to remain strong in praying for leadership of this. I don't care if you agree with them or not. You better be praying for them. And I'm not praying like, I hope they do this. I hope they, you know, drop dead. I hope they do that. I'm not praying that. You know, when I pray, I just say, Lord, let thy will be done. You know, if there's things that need to be revealed, reveal them. If they're whatever the case might be, you do it, Lord. You be that judge. You do that. I just want to pray for this nation. I want to pray for my leaders. I want to pray that they are honest. I want to pray that they have integrity. I want to pray that they're doing the right thing for man and not for a person or an individuality or some kind of a agenda that they would have. I want them to be honoring you, Father God. First thing I want to say, I don't care who's in the presidency, what side of the party they're on. I want to say, Lord, I pray, first of all, that if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray for their salvation. See, I'm not going to say, well, I pray that they make wise decisions and that I get more money in my taxes and I get this and I get all that. I'm not going to do that because man's not my source anyway. But I know that man needs a salvation. And I know that who's going to have that if we don't speak up, if we don't pray, if we don't lift our elected officials, our individuals and family, friends, co-workers, if we don't even lift, we can get this down from the government down to the person that sits next to you in your job. If they need salvation, guys, that's the most important part of that life right now. They might be sick and going through some things. They say, would you pray for me? Yeah, I would pray for their sickness and all that as well, but I'm going to pray for their salvation first. Maybe the Lord will use that to bring them to him. He uses a lot of different ways to get the people's attention, doesn't he? We had a thing, and I appreciate it. There's so many good things that were in that video today, that one thing that he talked about is saying that a miracle, and God has performed and continues to perform miracles. Do you believe that today? I do. And he says that will get your attention. I think is what it would be. It'll get your attention to, you know, hey. But it's not until you meditate or get into his word that the word of God gives you the direction. He can get the attention of the people, and we want that, and we pray for this and pray for that, and let there be a great outpouring of this and that, and miraculous signs and wonders and all that, and God will do those things. But you know also, we've been looking at in Revelation and a study through there, that in the end times, the Antichrist will be doing the same type signs and wonders. So you better be aware of the spirit that is moving and not be caught off guard and go, "Woo! Look at the spirit move over here and all these wonderful things that are happening and all." And then down the road you find out that that was an Antichrist that was actually, the spirit of the devil working in that person doing these wonderful things that we thought we're giving the glory to God about. Know who your Savior is. And so we do pray for signs and wonders and things of that nature. And that's all well and good, but pretty soon, in Jesus' time, it's shared about when he healed different ones. What was it? The 10 and they left? Or not the 10, but the, what were those guys? 5 or 6 and they left and only one came back. You know, where's the others? I healed. You know, they went on. So signs and wonders are great, but in most times, it's short-lived in that person's life because generally, once they get what they want from God, they go on and forget about God. And you know what? I was that way. I used to pray, God, do this for me, and I'll do this for you. Do you think when he did stuff for me, do you think I continued on doing stuff for him? No. I didn't. But that's where in Psalms, and I shared this past week about, but his love endures, or his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. I stand before you probably thankful, and I probably tested his mercy many times. How about you? I got an amen there. Amen! I tested his mercy too. We all have. Not one of us is a do-gooder. Not one of us is, hey, we've arrived. I'm perfect. We've all pushed his button. But he loves us so much, and his mercy endures forever. His words that we read in Scripture are important to read and remember what they're saying. It could have said very well that my love is there for a time, or my mercy is there for a time. My mercy will be there sporadically. My mercy is there for just a season. And whatever season you're in, I hope my mercy's there because it may be gone. No. His word said his mercy endures forever. Gives me hope. Gives me a peace, a strength, an ability to know that my God is God. And he knows Tim's shenanigans. What about you? He knows you. You're not surprising him. He sees all these things. If he knows the hairs on your head, if he sees a sparrow fall out of the sky, you mean to tell me he doesn't know you inside and out? It's not to run scared from him. It's not to try to hide, because you ain't going to hide from him. But it's to have reverential fear and love and knowing that he's there for me, and he's got patience and endurance, I know. And we shared about that a few weeks back, about, you know, patience and having that time set before you, that it's going to take some time to fulfill exactly what he wants to do in your life, and you're going to have to wait maybe a day, a year, 10 years, a decade, whatever the case might be. But while you're waiting, don't give up on him. While you're waiting, give him praise. While you're waiting, give him worship. Amen. And don't get down and think, well, it's longer than it should have been. I'm done. I'm writing you off, God. Why do we write him off when he doesn't write us off? He's just saying, my son or my daughter, just a little time more, and that prayer that you've been praying is almost about ready to be answered. We have scriptures in Daniel all telling us about those times of in the heavenlies where I heard it. And that's the thing, we came out of prayer recently and talking about that. We're still going to be strong in prayer and talking about that throughout the seasons, because prayer is important, amen. And I got a new outlook on it, and maybe it just turned me a little bit more when we had a study on that. About my house shall be called a house of prayer. We love the music that Jesse and the praise team brings before us, but nowhere in his word does it say, my house is going to be a house of music. Or great words that come from the pulpit. My house is not going to be great words that are announced to the people. No, he says, my house shall be a house of prayer. We had a great time at leadership last Sunday. I had another. You start meditating and listening, and others that share things, and it's like, now we know that my house shall be called a house of prayer. We're thinking, well, the church, and we are going to be corporately, yes. But also it says that we are his temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple. We are the church within us. So that means to tell me that my house shall be called a house of prayer. You got to be a house of prayer. Are you a house of prayer? If you are, praise God. And then when we have time for corporate prayer, come on and join us, because we'll have that unification. We'll have that unity in prayer, and we will just, nothing else, maybe just sit here before him and just listen for him. A night of praying by just keeping your mouth shut. Listening to my Father in heaven tell me things. And with the leadership and times we've had there, and this last time back on Sunday, with what was sharing and all, and it just certain things hit me, and it was coming out of people's mouths that were around that table that God uses, amen. And really helped some thoughts and ideas to help me. Sharing some of these things with some of the pastors in town, this one friend of ours now, meeting with him, he's getting fired up on prayer. He says, man, Tim, he says, you know, we've always thought of prayer and, you know, prayed and all that. It's not that we've not done those things, but when I've gotten together with them there for the last 3 or 4 weeks now, every Thursday we get together, it's like, what can we pray about for your church, Tim? And I said, I just want to pray that we become a church of prayer. That, you know, foremost in anything else that this church is doing is praying first. Because if we can pray about stuff, then stuff will get done. If we try to manipulate it and do it ourselves, it's going to be us doing it, and it will not last, or it may not even come to the surface, but we'll be frustrated. I said, just pray that we follow God's heart, and that God hears our prayers and that we can just minister to him in our love and worship. That's what I want to be. I want to just be close to him. So anyway, now he's looking at like this beginning of this next year, really, you know, forging ahead in some areas of prayer because of that, you know. I think it's a thing that God is stirring. And this is a study that was done like in 2006. So ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing that just happened overnight. It's not something that, boom, boy, prayer, where has that been for the last 2,000 years? It just all of a sudden came in 2014? No, it's always been there. But what happens is we take our eyes off of it. We take our focus off of it. We put it on things of this world and things that want to guide us. The things of this world want to guide us down a path that's not of that of God. God's word will guide us and direct us down the path that he has for us that's already set. Amen. So the Lord will direct us and lead us. And I'm thankful for that because I need direction. How about you? So just some things about Thanksgiving, and that was not really, that was just like extra there. So Thanksgiving, but we've got to be thankful all the time. We've got to be worshiping him all the time. You know that, and you've heard me say over and over, and you're tired of me hearing it, but wake up, thanking him for the sunrise. Go to bed, or see him and the sun going down, and just his magnificence and his beauty and all. My, the aspect of praise that gives thanks to God for what he has done for us. Ideally, Thanksgiving should spring from a grateful heart. Do you have a grateful heart? Or do you have a heart that's like wishy-washy? Well, if he does this for me, I'll worship him for that. No, we got to worship him. We have a grateful heart no matter what, because our Father in heaven knows what we need. When we pray, that's another thing, and I didn't finish that thought on Daniel, but it said in there, the minute you prayed, we heard it in heaven. Do you guys believe this, that when you pray and lift up something to God, that boom, instantly he's aware of that? His word must, it says that. When they prayed in Daniel, he said it did. That gives me hope. That gives me encouragement. That my prayers, my prayers are not magical and eloquent and they don't rhyme and all that. There's just my conversations with God that I know that when I'm talking to him, he's hearing me. And then I got to shut up and listen to him. But it says that it's from a grateful heart, but it is required of all believers. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give what? Thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want God's will to be performed in my life. I don't want my will, as much as I think my will probably knows better than God, but then I find out that I really don't know as much as God. Amen. So we got to step back and say, let thy will be done, Lord, in my life, in this situation, in this circumstance, whatever the case might be. Because he's got the beginning to the end and everything in the middle figured out. But now it says, in everything give thanks. New Century Version would say, no matter what happens. Are you able to say that to God? I thank you, Father God, no matter what happens. I thank you. And that's what really ticks off the devil when you don't even get the fullness answer that you want, or maybe a struggle still happens or tribulation is still there and you're praying and thanking God and the answer hasn't been there yet. The devil is just waiting for you to get upset with God so that you get mad with God, and then the devil says, I got him off track now. But the devil, if you want to upset him, just stay on track with God. Even though that prayer has not been answered yet, you keep thanking God for it. You keep praising God for it. You keep worshiping God for it. And pretty soon the devil's going to say, this guy, this gal, man, they're sold out to him. I want the devil to say, I don't even want to bother Tim anymore because he's just sold out to God. I want to get to the point to where I frustrate the devil so much that he don't even want to deal with me anymore. Because he can't get his little imps to just twist me and get me upset. If he's going to be sneaking around like a lion who he may devour, he ain't going to devour me because I'm not going to allow him to devour me. So no matter what happens, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Amplified, thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. Same verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ. Christ, you know what Christ is. This Amplified blows up this as the revealer. Christ, the revealer, reveals things to us. Amen. We look at Jesus as the mediator. I shared that just recently, just now, a little bit before we got into this. This is where it was coming out. Mediator, Amplified says, so it says this, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks for, for this is the will of God. Come on, stay down. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator. Mediator is one who attempts to make people involved in a conflict come to an agreement. I talk with some people out there at times, and there's a lot of people upset with God. I talk, and there's some people just disheartened with God. Maybe not upset, but they just don't know about God. They just don't really have much to do with Him. So there's kind of like a little conflict there. And that's why it is so important, and I saw that just this morning before I got out of the office here to look up mediator, and I just want to really refresh my memory, but one who attempts to make people involved in a conflict come to an agreement of that. Jesus is there for us, interceding between us and God. Thank God for that. Amen. We need to understand that God is in control. When things are going bad, He's in control. When things are going good, He is in control. What we that believe in God can and should thank Him for all that happens in our lives. God wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to pray at all times and to give Him thanks. As we are in Christ, that's what He's wanting from us. He wants us. He wants us to thank Him. He wants us to worship Him. That's part of Thanksgiving. We look at it today in Thanksgiving and we sit around the table and we have the turkey and the wonderful time with our families. Now, the other part of this thing, guys, is these holidays that are coming up, there's one or two aspects of these holidays. Number one, holidays unite people and bring families together and everybody's glad to see everybody. There's other families out there that when the holidays come, they despise and can't wait to get away from each other. Just the way it is. For whatever reason, that's just what happened in the family. Disagreements, upsettingness. A lot of that is that they were not able to release and let go and forgive. Amen. So we have families that are, and we have then there's those families that can't do that. They look at the families that are just loving and thankful and joyful around the table and they wish, well, I wish I could be like that, or what's wrong with them, or they're not dealing with reality, or whatever the case might be. But it seems like these holidays have a way of doing that. Sometimes we need to really be in prayer for the holidays when we have that situation, because it's also a time when people feel a little loneliest. When people have lost loved ones or something's happened in the family. Maybe they've been ostracized by the family. Maybe they don't get along with their family, so they don't even go to that family function anymore. But they see other things happening and they hear in the workplace, oh yeah, we went and had turkey and we did this and we're going here for Christmas and we're getting together as a family. We always do this. It's a tradition. Our family does this. And they hear that and they go, what happened in my family that I don't have that? And then their depression. This is a bad time of the year for depressed people. Number one, it's getting darker too early. When it's 5 o'clock and it's like, I'm thinking it's 9 o'clock, there's something wrong. It's like, wow, what happened here? It's like, whew. So we've got that already going because, you know, science and medicine tells us that because of, you know, the darkness and all that, it has a way of affecting our psyche a little bit, of messing us up there, and sometimes we get gloomy, like, oh, man. And so then we have the holidays come, and then we have all this, and we got people that are happy, and we got other people that aren't happy, and I would encourage you to be on the lookout for those that maybe can't be as joyful as you. and maybe try to help them. If nothing else, pray for them, you know, and just show some love. How do I do that? I'm going to tell you, my love probably can't do a whole lot to them or for them, but if I can say, Father God, you know, Susie is really having a hard time, you know, John is really having a hard time at this time of year, and Lord, I just ask you to be there for them. Comfort him, comfort her. Let them really begin to realize and understand and sense what love is. That's the greatest thing that we can do, is show love. If we can walk in love and be in love and share the love of like that of Christ. Christ walked with this on this earth with so much compassion, it was like, must have just been like oozing off of him at times, right? It didn't really go well with the religious ardor and, you know, those of the religious set back then, because Jesus hung around with all the sinners and all the bad people. They were drawn to him like a magnet, amen. But there was something about it. It was that they saw that compassion, or he had something that just drew them to him. That same compassion, that same drawing power that he had back then, even though he's not here in the physical realm, he's here by that because he said, I must go so that he, the Holy Spirit, can come and lead you. It's important. I can't remember all the verbiage that it said there, but it's important that I go so that he can come. But the wonderful thing about it is, that's why we have a Trinity for our faith and our denomination. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we have the benefit and the effects and that of the Holy Spirit within us and being led by the Spirit and being in communion with the Spirit of God. Amen. To where he can share these things with us and that we can show that love. It might be a part where you've got to step back and maybe you have a hard time showing that love, but where I can't show that love, guess what I'm going to do? I've got to pray that I get that love. I've got to pray, say, Lord, it's on my own ability. I have a little bit of a difficult time extending this love, Father, because in the flesh, in the natural, I see, I understand this, or I don't see this, I don't, that, whatever the case might be. So I sometimes start putting up a little wall there in my own expectations, and I know that's not right because the Lord says I need to walk out in love and show love to those out there. I got to walk what Jesus did and be in that compassion mode. Amen. So when I can't do it, when I know I'm faltering, when I begin to sense by that of the Spirit in me because of the Spirit convicting me, I can all of a sudden turn and say, Father, I need your love in me to show love to that person. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going to be needed, but I just need you, Father. Amen. And he does those things. You know, we are thankful and grateful for the salvation that he's given us. Amen. Sanctification, setting us apart from where we were. It's not that we are special, but yes, we are special. It's not that we're holier than thou, but yes, we are a form of holier than thou to them, but they can be the same way because we were all sinners. I was a sinner just like that person. I'm not saying that I'm better than you, but, you know, because I've received Christ, I do have to say there's a difference between you and me and that relationship with him, you know. And it does say that I'm a peculiar person too. Are you peculiar? Is it okay to be peculiar? It's okay. The world won't understand you. Peculiar is like sometimes a person might say, how can you be nice to that person after what they just did to you? Or how can you be nice to that person after you know what they've done to that person over there? And it's like it's because it's just not me being nice. It's God being nice. It's God working through me. It's my desire because I could care, well, I don't want to say I can care less about that person, but what I want to do is I need to guard my relationship with my Father in heaven. And anything that's going to interfere with that, which is usually the things that are going to interfere with this relationship that I have with him, is the relationships that I have down here. And how I respond to these relationships down here is going to be kind of like a mirrored image of how my relationship is going to be with him. And I want to walk out this relationship with him that I'm doing all that I can so that I want my Father in heaven to say, well done, good and faithful servant. May not have understood why you had to do that, Tim. I know you had a frustration time back in 1983 and all this, and back in, you know, as the time goes through your time frame. But the most important thing we want to do is keep that relationship with Him on an even keel of just honoring Him, respecting Him, loving Him, reverencing Him. And it says that wisdom is fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? We need to walk in that reverential fear of who God is. I'm not worried that He's going to smote me out of here and step on me and squash me like a fly. I'm not that fearful of Him because I know He loves me. But I am fearful and of Him, and I want to honor Him in that area because I know that who He is. And I want to bring respect to that. We had a situation even this Friday for the pantry time, and there's an individual and some families, and they're talking about, you know, dinners and things like that. And I said, yeah, we're having a dinner. Oh, can we come? I said, yeah, you can come. I said, you got to sign up so we know how many's coming, you know. Well, can we sign up now? I said, no, you got to come to church to sign up. Well, I said, I love my God, but I'm not going to let people abuse Him. You know, I was some of those people in the hallway this past Friday got a little sermonette and they didn't even know it. They're probably thinking, oh my God, what's that guy doing? Because I said, I love my Father in heaven too much for people to abuse Him and come to Him when they want something. And then when He answers that, they turn away and go somewhere else. I said, but God is love and God is good and I love Him, you know. And you know, then we made light talk and everything worked out fine. But it's just these things that, you know, I protect my God. Not that He needs, what can I do? I can't even put a little brick up here. I can't break it. Break my wrist or my hand maybe, but not that. It's not that I'm all powerful, but I just know that I love my God, that I want to protect Him to the point of just saying, whatever I've got to do, I want to honor You, God, and share Your love and all the compassion, you know. It's not that I don't want to do that. And I know, I've had this conversation with Him already, guys. It's like, yeah, God, I know You're big enough. You can take care of Yourself. It's not like, you know, if Tim doesn't do that, like God's going to, you know. But it's just something personal. I'm sorry. It's just something with me and my God that I just want to honor that and respect Him. But do it in love. And I did it in love and all that good stuff. It wasn't anything negative like that. But, you know, sometimes people need to hear those things, that God is there. But it talks about, you know, that God is not to be mocked. And I think sometimes we easily mock Him by some of the things that we do, you know. And that's that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom of that we have. And so as we come into this time of being thankful, be thankful in all these things. Be thankful and look at what, you know, we shared. There's many more scriptures here I didn't even get into about thankfulness. And there's things here that we could look at and we didn't get into about, you know, how do we show thanksgiving? You can show thanksgiving by singing. Amen. By living a holy life is thanksgiving. By serving is thanksgiving. By praying, by giving offerings, speaking about Jesus. Amen. You know, it's like, whoa, really? Speaking about Jesus by praying? It's like, yeah, these are some areas. Where is that at now? Real quick. Oh, in Luke 2, 36, 38, there was Anna, a prophetess. Okay, she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instance, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Are we speaking to those around us of our Lord? No, that's part of sharing, thanksgiving, being thankful of the things that we've got. Again, we are a blessed people. You are a blessed people. We are a blessed church. Hallelujah. Because all the things that God is doing in it. And there's more, amen. Do you believe that? There's more that we've got. Jesus said that I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And that's what we're looking at. On this side of heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to need to worry about anything, amen. Everything's ready. You know, it's going to be awesome. but I am also going to live an awesome life down here on this side of heaven because God is my God, amen, and he's going to take care of us. We want to wait upon you as well, and I should have shared that as far as we, time for giving time and receiving. Talks about in 2 Corinthians, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, let me go down to the easy read version. It says, God is the one who gives seed to those who plant and gives bread for food, and God will give you spiritual seed and make that seed grow. He will produce great harvest from your goodness. God will make you rich in every way so that you can always give freely, and that your giving through us will make people give thanks to God. It goes on to say, the services you are offering helps God's people with their needs, but that is not all it does. It is also bringing more and more thanks to God. This service is proof of your faith, and people will praise God because of it. They will praise God that you freely share what you have with them and with all people. They will praise him to see you following the good news about Christ, that you openly accept it. They will praise God because you freely share with them with all the people. It goes on, and we find this as a wonderful time of just showing our faith, our trust, our obedience. You know, as we receive communion, as we would do water baptisms, as we do these things, it's all showing ordinances and following what God has instructed us and to do in his word. And it's also that through that of giving and times of offering. And so we just open up that opportunity for you.